Welcome to Limitless, the Bland Beginnings podcast where seeing things differently inspires limitless possibilities. This podcast is being brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Limitless was created in order to inform, educate, entertain, and share stories from within the blind and partially sighted community, in order to show the world that the opportunities for those who are blind or partially sighted are truly limitless. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to your host, the executive director and founder of Blind Beginnings, Sean Marcellet.
Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and today, this podcast is being released on White Cane Week, and so that's what we're talking about today. But before we get into the details of that, I want to introduce my co-host, Keisha. Welcome back to the podcast, Keisha.
Hello, it's an honor to be back.
Awesome. Can you maybe introduce yourself to our listeners again in case they've forgotten who you are, just a little bit about your vision?
Absolutely. So my name is Keisha, and I am 21 years old, and my visual condition is retinitis pigmentosa, just like Sean.
Yay, same as me.
And I have just a little bit of light perception, not too much else, and I am a cane user, so this is going to be interesting.
Awesome. So we're talking about White Cane Week, which was started started by the Canadian Council of the Blind. And our guest today is Bill Conway, who is a member of the CCB and also the committee chairperson for White Cane Week for the BC Yukon Division. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Sean and Keisha.
Did I get that right? Your title?
My actual title is that I'm the second vice president of the BC Yukon Division and the committee chair of the 2021 White Cane Week.
Perfect. Oh. You said it better than I could have. That's great. So you know what we're talking about today. So thank you.
I have a little bit of knowledge.
Awesome. Maybe we could start by, you could tell us what is the CCB, what for our listeners who aren't familiar.
The CCB, Sean and Keisha, is an organization that was started in 1944 by our veterans who come home from Second World War. It was started in 1944 and was chartered in 1952, the year I was born.
Oh, wow.
And it came together to focus on the rehabilitation and the education of sighted individuals to learn how blind people can do things. Rehab, it gave the opportunity for the war veterans who were just blinded from the war, to learn how to work within their limitations of having no sight, how to get from A to B with no sight, and how to do a job and read and write and do everything all of a sudden with no sight. That's what it started out as a public education and rehabilitation service for those who came back from World War II and obviously those who came back from World War I. Today, it's a whole entire different entity, I believe. And now the CCB is known as the Voice of the Blind across Canada, being the largest organization that represents the blind and visually impaired of our country.
Can you tell us a little bit about your vision, Bill, and sort of when did you get involved with the CCB?
Ladies, I am a totally blind man. I see absolutely nothing. I had my right eye removed when I was at the young age of 7 or 8, and I've been blind since. I was officially registered for the Canadian National Institute for the Blind in 1963, 5 years after I lost my right eye. I have what you call a detached retina, glaucoma, macular degeneration, and I can't think of anything else that could be wrong with me. They tell me that I'm blind, but all I say to the general public is that you may think I'm blind, but I just don't see as good as you do. And that is a philosophy I've carried all my life. From that point, my involvement in the CCB actually started way back in the 1970s when I was a volunteer, or I worked at Bone Island, mm-hmm. The Camp for the Blind over at Bone Island. And I was introduced to a gentleman by the name of Joe Lewis, who was the head of the recreation at that time. And then he said, I should get involved with the CCB. It's a bunch of blind people. which help generate the laws or formulate the standardizations and the policies and regulations of our British Columbia government. And that's where I started making the first amendments to the Blind Persons Rights Act in 1980.
Wow.
So yeah, I've been around a little bit. And from that involvement, I left British Columbia for a number of years and I come back. Now live on the Sunshine Coast. I was asked to get involved with the CCB again because of my ability to work with, for, and on behalf of people with disabilities in a variety of capacities. And then I became a part of the CCB. I joined the provincial board in 2011. And in 2019, I was elected to be the second vice president of the provincial body. And for the last 5-6 years, I have been the chairperson of the White Cane Week for the province of BC. So that's basically how I really got involved in through advocacy and my due diligence to make sure that our rights are properly representative and we, the vision loss citizens of Canada, has the opportunity to live a better and more healthier life.
I feel like that maybe leads us into White Cane Week. So clarify for us, it was the CCB that started White Cane Week. Is that correct?
Yes, the White Cane Week actually first got kicked off. The official one was in 1951. There was an article in the magazine at that time called Outlook, which was the newspaper for the Canadian Council of the Blind. Outlook and White Cane Week was started back in that year in 51, just a few months before I was born, actually. And from then it's just progressed on and on and on. It was set up to be a publicity, promotional, to help educate the general public on what blind and visually impaired and partially sighted people can do. Not what we can't do, it's what we can do. Today, it helps us in showing off our abilities and not our disability.
So why the name White Cane Week? Why not like Blindness Awareness Week? Or why was White Cane chosen as the name?
When I went looking for that, why it was called White Cane, the White Cane, because of the White Cane itself. The White Cane actually came to be a symbol in the early 30s. 1924 was the first person received the white cane over in Bristol, England. And then another one was brought forth in Germany. And in the early 30s, Lions Clubs International in the United States presented a blind person with a white cane, and then it took off. In France in 1931, a gentleman cane was painted white so he or she could cross the street without being hit by the cars in those years.
Wow. That's kind of shocking to me that, like, we're talking 1930s, like hundreds and hundreds of years, there were blind people without white canes.
Yeah, they used to just walk around with a regular cane, not painted. But we were out there, we still motored around, but with just a cane.
I read an autobiography with somebody who went to Jericho School for the Blind, like in the early night, I don't know, the first half of the 1900s, we'll say, because I don't remember. But she said she used to live in Vancouver and would go to school each day, and she would walk with one foot in the gutter of the road and the other foot on the sidewalk. And that's how she would find her way there, because she didn't have a cane at all. And just in order to sort of like follow along the road. It was like crazy to me.
Even when I was a youngster, and I was young, and I went to regular school, being blind. I didn't go to the Ontario School for the Blind in Brantford, Ontario, where I was born in Ontario. So, and I never went to Jericho and never went to the Halifax School for the Blind in Nova Scotia. I went to regular school because I, at that time, had some visual acuity.
Okay.
All my sight was gone by 1979. So when I used to be a gutsy person, a white cane, throw that away. I refused to do it and the way I got around, I used to put my edge, like you said, not in the gutter, but I put my edge, my foot along the grass edge.
Right. Yeah.
And I could follow that way until I got to a curb or there was areas, there was no grass and I was lost just like everybody else would be. But one day I was walking down the street with my girlfriend at the time. And she was visually impaired also, and she too never used a cane. She was on the inside and I was on the outside of the curb, by the curb, walking down, and smack, I hit a parking meter. Oh, that's a little joke. No big deal. Five more steps, smack into the second one.
Oh, dear.
Oh, well, big deal. Carry on. Smack, I got the third one. I says, forget this. So we both walked across the street. What do? Walk right into a fire hydrant.
Oh, those are the worst. Oh, those are the worst.
Especially being a gentleman. And from that point on, I used a white cane. So by the end of the 60s and the middle of the 70s, I was using a white cane just like every other person. At that time, they were fully all white.
Mm.
Nowadays, if you notice, some of them have red on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
or have reflectors around them to illuminate in the night when headlights hit them. So that's how I started off, and that's how I started off being used a white cane. The white cane week actually was because to help identify people who are visually impaired with a white cane. The only way we could recognize them is you're blind because you got a white cane.
Yeah, it's amazing. Even today, people will ask, what is that? They'll see me standing in an elevator or something, you know, especially if I'm not moving at the time, and they just see the cane and I don't quote unquote look blind, whatever that means. but they will say, what is that thing? Or if it's folded in your hand, especially, right? What are you carrying? So people still don't know what it is sometimes.
I've had people even ask, like, are those like markers or like, what are you holding in your hand? Like when it's folded up, and I'm like,
yes.
And then I like snap it out and they're like, oh.
Yeah. So when white cane was started, I understand like raising awareness about the white cane itself.
Yes.
It was important, but also raising awareness about the capabilities of people who are blind. And I feel like today that's really the focus, right?
It is. It is. Today is the awareness of what we can do, not what we can't do.
So what type of events usually take place during White Cane Week? I'll ask you what's going on this year, but what normally would happen if we weren't in a pandemic?
What normally would happen is that White Cane Clubs, or a club which is known as a White Cane Club, which is associated with the Canadian Council of the Blind, get together in a mall to set up a table display for public awareness, passing out materials pertaining to visual impairment and blindness, and causes and cures and helpful hints and recognition and tips what to do and what not to do when you meet a blind person. Mm-hmm. So in other words, paraphernalia, material, printed material that we can't see to read.
Yes.
We hand out to the sighted people. It's also an opportunity for us to be out on the street a little more visible in a group. So, oh, wow, there's a whole bunch of blind people. We know that they're all blind because they may have all white canes or they may not have white canes.
Mm-hmm.
Some, usually in the past, I had a dog. But it's also a chance to go into schools to educate the students on what White Cane Week is and how people deal and work and go to school with their vision loss. It also has been an opportunity to really show off the general awareness of our abilities and to promote our abilities and not our disabilities. That's been in the past. I used to host one at Park Royal with one of our members in the North Shore in the Enantia.
Mm-hmm.
And we would attract about 50 to 100 people a day when we were in there. And at that time, we could have anywhere from 15 to 20 different organizations that either provides a service or an organization that has a club or a service that represents or provides material or assistive technology for those of us who are have a vision loss.
Yeah.
That is what it used to be.
Okay. Yeah. Blind Beginnings used to have a table at Park Royal as well. We were part of that event every year.
Yes.
And it was great. You could wander around and get to know about all the different organizations that assist people who are blind. And it was a good way to raise some awareness for sure.
That was a big awareness because that was our biggest event ever since I took upon this position in the whole entire province. The Park Royal event was the largest event, I would say, even in Canada. So I know what we did to get that going. I know what Amy did to keep it going. And I know how I was involved in making sure that we had the funds to get it going and keep it going.
Since we can't do something like that this year? What is happening this year?
That really came about last November when I had my very first White Cane 2021 meeting. And we had no idea what we're going to do until somebody said, well, you know, what about doing Zoom? I said, the only way I knew to Zoom is to have a meeting like this year. I've set it up into four different events with four different topics being held on four different days at four different times of the day.
Okay.
For example, on the first day is going to be our kickoff day where we will have the history of the CCB and the White Cane. That's on a Sunday, which is kickoff day, February the 7th.
Okay.
1 p.m. And then on the Tuesday morning, 2 days later, we're going to have a morning one at 10 o'clock in the morning with Albert Ruel, R-U-E-L, for those who are trying to spell, on the evolution of assistive technology.
Interesting. Okay.
Then on the Thursday evening, we've got to have an evening one. We're having a gentleman who is a Canadian representative to the World Blind Union, Charles Mossett.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then on the final day, we're going to have another lady who I think you know, Sean. Keisha may know her too, Betty Noble.
Yes, we know Betty.
Who is going to do a success story, a life story on her success. And she's been very, very successful in her abilities as she's been blind pretty well, just as long as I have. And so that's how we're going to end it off. So we start off with a young lady, Amy, and we end with another young lady, Betty. And in the middle, we have two gentlemen. So we got the rose with the two thorns in the middle.
Well, if Betty's listening, I'm sure she'll love that you just called her a young lady. So that's awesome.
Oh, yes. I don't discriminate against ages.
We did have Betty on our podcast early back in April or May. So if listeners want to hear Betty's story, they can actually tune into an earlier episode and learn all about her life. And it is very interesting. But they could also attend this CCB event. So how can people get involved if they want to attend any of those sessions?
Right now, it's going to be put out in the CCB BC Yukon newsletter called The Observer. And it's going to be out later this week. And if you're on the CCB list, you will get the email list. You'll get the you will get the newsletter called The Observer. I've written in there the White Cane Week. I usually write underneath the rough corner. Usually, sometimes it's political. Sometimes it's my own opinion. Sometimes it's regarding guide dogs. This time, I'm doing everything all on White Cane Week. There, I have the complete list of times and the presenters. And we're also going to have a host for every single event. And that host, by the way, is Fraser Hiltz. But Fraser is a former journalist from Edmonton. So he's a part of the curling team in the Lower Mainland when they do curl.
Right.
So also on our Facebook and our website is going to be there also. The Facebook is CCB space BC Yukon space or BC Yukon Division. And that's our Facebook. It's going to be on there every day or coming up soon. And also on our Facebook, on our website, CCB BC Yukon Division. And also it's going to be in the Vancouver Sun for 12 days and online for 14 days.
Oh, okay.
So we're doing whatever we can to advertise it.
I know that the majority of the members of CCB are older individuals, people who've lost their vision later in life in a lot of cases. I am assuming that COVID has been a challenging time, like even hosting a virtual event. Are you concerned that people won't be able to figure out how to join, or have people been getting some assistance and being able to connect virtually?
What we've done there, Sean, is that the CC, our provincial body on our Zoom, have been able to have 25 people phone in, and we will phone them in.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, for joining us. I hope that your White Cane Week events are successful. I'll definitely check some of those out. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. It's my first one ever to do, and I was glad. I'm very pleased to do it for both of you and for your organization.
So, Keisha, why do you think something like White Cane Week is important?
I think that as Bill was mentioning, and as other people mentioned, it's a really important thing for people to know about what exactly, like particularly sighted people, to know what exactly a white cane stands for. And I really appreciate the inclusion of education about how to practice like etiquette when approaching visually impaired people with canes, or you know, like the knowledge of how we use our canes, and in order to enhance people's knowledge of so that they are more aware of why we do what we do. So I think it's a really beneficial education tool for the world.
I agree.
Which also, just on a different level, like, we should be celebrating our canes too, because they do a lot for us, and it's a pretty great symbol and a pretty great tool.
Just thinking about, like, this is White Cane Week, and this is an opportunity to educate. If you, off the top of your head, could think of a few things that you wish sighted people understood about blindness, what would those be?
The idea of the white cane in mind. You know, what not to do when you see somebody struggling on the street. Like Bill was saying, you know, talking about how, you know, some people will just run up and grab you and proceed to steer you where they think you need to go, which is unacceptable. And there is a much better way of doing that. And for those who are, you know, well-meaning and are wanting to help. I wrote a thing on my Facebook a little while ago. It's kind of a side note, but I was talking about, like, when I was a little kid growing up, like, one of the things, like, I actually really didn't like my white cane.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I think that's a very common thing, especially when you first start going blind and start having to deal with, you know, being looking different with having the cane.
Yes.
And I know for me, like, it wasn't really the cane that I hated. It was the stereotype.
Yes.
And the ideas that come along with it, where people are like, oh, you know, you have a cane, you're blind, therefore here's what I think about you. And the things that some people think, it might not necessarily be the truth. Mm-hmm. About how it is. So I just want people to be cognizant of their misconceptions and try to be aware that, you know, as we're always saying, we are just people who cannot see very well, and or at all, some of us. And that's really not, that's not like a huge difference. Yeah, we adapt our lives in order to, like, make sure that we can be successful, but is it really so alienating to be blind?
It's interesting, because I think, you know, I didn't have a cane until I was a teenager. And yeah, I only used it at night when I absolutely had to, when I thought, because I couldn't see in the dark, I thought no one else could see me either. But I had my own stereotypes about what blindness meant as well, right?
Just because
you are blind doesn't mean you don't have the same ideas and misconceptions that everyone else does, because you still see that in the media and you've never maybe met someone who's actually blind. So yeah, it's hard to kind of, I didn't want to be seen as like a faltering blind person or helpless in any way or any of those things that I kind of thought blindness meant. Turns out it doesn't mean that.
That is so relatable. I can totally, like, you know, the more that I reflect on, because, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, everybody else has a stereotype, but sometimes you have to be the reflective person and realize, oh, actually, some of those stereotypes are actually ones that I hold. Mm-hmm. And am injecting into my own life views of myself and of the world around me. So I totally agree with you there.
Yeah. Another thought that's coming to mind is it's called White Cane Week, but now a lot of people are using different colored canes. And
yes.
I think it's probably important to kind of mention that, because if you're seeing, especially younger people out in the world, you might notice that they've got a blue cane or a pink cane or a green cane. And sometimes it's just the top and the bottom are a different color and it's white in the middle, but sometimes the whole cane, sometimes we decorate our canes. So it might not look like that international symbol of blindness, but it sort of our way of personalizing it, feeling empowered. Have you ever used a colored cane?
I have not, but
yeah, me either.
I know friends who have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like when I was a teenager, I might have made that choice just because of feeling so uncomfortable about using a cane. But maybe if I had a green cane or a pink cane, that would have felt more cool or something, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I know, like, I've had friends in the past who are like, oh, it's Christmas, you should decorate your cane. And I'm like, yeah, I never went for it. But, you know, I can see people doing it.
Yeah, that we used to do that at our Blind Beginnings holiday parties. We'd have a cane decorating station, and my son decorated my cane for me last year, and he made me keep it decorated for like the whole rest of the month of December.
That's so nice.
Yeah, except when you try to fold it and then there's like bells and stickers and ribbons in the way. Luckily, I have two canes, so it became the going out cane, like just to parties and stuff, but not actually functional as a cane. So Blind Beginnings, usually around this time of year, would be putting out an offer on social media if anybody was interested in a blindness presentation in their school, in their class, that we have a lot of young youth and young adult speakers who would be willing to go in and talk about blindness. Have you done one of those presentations, Keisha?
So I haven't, I don't believe I've specifically done one with Blind Beginnings, but we're all striving for the same causes. And I have done school visits and classroom visits. I have connections. My mom is actually a teacher of students with visual impairment. So I have presented to some of the classes of students that she teaches. I also have presented to like my own classes growing up, and my little brother's classes, and as well as like a number of other like groups that weren't necessarily school groups. So yeah.
Yeah. I went into my son's kindergarten class when he was in kindergarten and talked about blindness. I was doing school drop-offs and pickups not every day, but some of the time. And they were seeing me there. All these little kids were seeing me with my white cane. And I thought, well, they might have questions. And it was so funny because so many of these kids have grown up, you know, in the neighborhood with me and already knew Nicholas from daycare or from the complex we live in or whatever, that nobody had any questions. They were kind of probably just a little bit like, why? What's the big deal? Like, so what?
I love little kids for that. Like they... Yeah. A lot of little kids are just like, yeah, so.
Yeah.
Or, alternatively, they have some of the best questions I have ever heard. If anybody wants to hear some amazing questions, listen to that podcast that we did with the Ask Abby with the grade 3 class.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was fantastic. It was so much fun and they had great questions.
Yeah. There's no filter. They don't have any kind of sense of like, this would be an inappropriate or an awkward or an embarrassing question. So they just ask it, which is really great. Something else that's cool that's going to happen during White Cane Week, for those listeners who are hearing this, you know, the first couple of days that we release this episode, on Wednesday, February 10th, our Exploring Work Wednesday guest speaker is Tamara. She's going to talk about her job. She works at TransLink. She's totally blind from birth, but she's also going to talk about being a parent. So she has one child and is about to have her second child. And we're going to have a conversation about the job of parenting as well as her actual sort of employment job. So I think that's going to be really awesome. And, you know, something that parents of visually impaired kids would probably be interested in, and teens themselves. So I'm excited for that.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Keisha, for being here today. I really appreciate my white cane. It sounds like you do too. I totally get the whole, it was a, yeah, it wasn't love at first sight for the cane and I, but I definitely have grown to love it and appreciate the independence that it gives me. And I think I'm grateful that there is something like White Cane Week. I'm glad that you're here to talk about it with me.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me. I think this is a great topic and I'm really glad that I was able to help cover it.
Awesome. You've been listening to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet. If you have a question or comment, you have a question for our Ask Abby feature, send us an email to limitless@blindbeginnings.ca. Share our podcast with your friends and please join us again next week.
This podcast has been brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Music for this podcast is composed by Sean Bishop and Clement Chow. Production and audio editing by Rob Minot. For more information about Blind Beginnings and the work it does to support children and youth who are blind and partially sighted, along with their families, visit us on the web at www.blindbeginnings.ca. And also remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time. We'll be right back.